Well, it's been a long week. We've traced the history of HBCUs, fought off the flu, and went on a date to the Waffle House. So, as we do every Friday, we've gathered up a group of smart people to help us kick back, unwind, and think about what happened this week. It's time for the break room.
And we can prevent some seriously nasty crimes and some seriously indescribable tragedies. And if somebody doesn't want to do that at this point, that's pathetic.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda?
Let our flag war still there.
She did better than I would have done. Joining us in the break room are Natalie Pavelski, Vice President of Cater Communications, Greg Williams, mortgage banker and host of the conservative radio show Greg's List, Amber Scott, Executive Director of the nonprofit Leap Year, and Hector Fernandez, Professor in the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State University. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
After last week's mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, students nationwide have been rallying for more gun control. President Trump has indicated that he's open to some things. He's open to banning bump stocks. These are the things that allow a semiotic automatic rifle to sort of function kind of like an automatic rifle, like a machine gun. He's also open to tightening the federal background check system, which has a lot of holes in it. How do we think that this might play out in Georgia? Like other states, Georgia sends the names of people who have been involuntarily hospitalized for mental health or substance abuse reasons here to the FBI's gun background check database. Georgia is the only state that removes those names after 5 years without any new mental health assessment. Might we see some bipartisan movement on this issue locally? Greg, what do you think?
I hope so. I mean, some of his ideas, I think, are certainly bipartisan in nature, especially, you know, since the AR-15 has been deemed as, you know, the weapon of war that everybody's using hyperbole against. If he raises that age to 21, I think that that's a fair starting point for the negotiation. There's some on the left that'll never be happy until every gun is confiscated, but I think we can try to meet somewhere in the middle where, you know, fans of the NRA can agree that we have a problem with this 18 to 21 age bracket that for some reason chooses AR-15, and that has turned into some horrific incidents, some terroristic incidents is what we really need to be calling it at some of our schools. And also the point of doing the mental health checks, of course. I think that's an obvious point of concession that all folks need to make, and we need to invest in more treatment.
That's just a start, though. I mean, the AR-15, it's not hyperbole, Greg. This is the civilian version of a military weapon designed specifically to kill as many people as possible. Nobody needs that.
But it's not just the AR-15.
It's other things as well.
It's a semi-automatic rifle that's dressed up to look like something you would use in battle. It's largely a cosmetic distinction between the AR-15 and semi-automatic hunting rifles. If you just ban the one that looks scary, does that have any effect? Aren't people just going to reach for the one that looks like a hunting rifle?
Because it is the weapon of choice for mass killers of children and others, go ahead and ban it. I'd also say Greg's right about raising the age and expanding the mental health piece of this. But also, we don't need bump stocks. We don't need huge magazines. We don't need to allow kits that turn a normal gun into a full automatic. This is crazy making. All of these ideas need to be on the table, and they in no way infringe Second Amendment rights.
Even for hunting, you don't need a semi-automatic weapon for hunting. And in Georgia, we need a lot more. I mean, it's just crazy. It's the right to bear arms is becoming the obligation to bear arms. I mean, and that's just not the way it works. There's also the right, if you want to, not to have a gun. And a sizable percentage of the population, even in Georgia, feels like we do not need and we do not want the guns.
Yeah, I get frustrated with this argument, and Marco Rubio made this argument at the town hall as well, around like, well, we can't make this ban on this particular kind of gun because you can always kind of get around that, but it's more than just, you know, you can always find some way to circumvent the system, but it's about sending a message that as a country, we care about this issue and we're going to do something.
Right,
like,
and there is
to do something.
But there is a practical thing, too. For example, when's the last time we had a flamethrower massacre? You can't remember because flamethrowers are banned. Okay, theoretically, you could get around it and get a flamethrower, but the fact that we don't have
have a pressure cooker used as a bomb at the Boston Marathon.
Banned.
We've had plenty of trucks being driven into large crowds.
But
folks, let's
that's something we can't.
Well, we had trucks driven into large crowds all across D.C. They installed those little barriers around the city. Yeah. So immediately they were
D.C. armed itself against weaponized vans.
No, they put up defensive postures. They put up things in the street.
I could argue that concealed carry is a defensive posture.
Oh, come on. Everybody thinks that carrying a gun is going to turn themselves into this fabulous...
There was an armed guard standing for 4 minutes outside of the school. That was a good guy with a gun.
Death Wish is coming back. Bruce Willis is in the remake of Death Wish, so I think we're going to see the rise of vigilantism.
Bronson is rolling over in his tomb thinking about what a poor job he's doing at it.
Everybody thinks that having a gun is going to magically turn them into a fabulous marksman with great bravery. You know, we're all just a bunch of schlubs. I mean, that's a ridiculous idea.
That actually means that we probably need more high-capacity magazines because you ain't going to be Dirty Harry in your accuracy.
Really? That's going to help a lot. That's going to help a lot.
Turn our schools into shooting galleries.
You know, our president's idea that this notion that teachers should also be armed and not focusing. They're already under-resourced and under-supported and trying to teach our children algebra, but they should also be like Okeyo from Black Panther, the general, like, ready to...
And I went to Catholic school, so the thought of arming nuns is really scary.
Oh, God. That's a good point.
All right, folks. Well, if that conversation was any indication, I'm sure we're very close to bipartisan agreement.
Yeah, we're the majority.
Right after the Parkland massacre, a very vocal group of students went on television to demand action on this issue. Let's listen.
Yeah, they say that criminals get guns no matter what laws you have in place. That might be true, but we don't have to encourage them to get those guns. We can make it harder.
Every answer is a solution at this point because we haven't tried any of them, and we need a multifaceted approach to this extremely complex problem, because if we don't have that, this will never come to an end.
Those were students Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg on CNN. An aide to Florida State Representative Sean Harrison was fired this week after claiming that those students were paid actors. That was not true, but he was not the only person to say something like that. Plenty of people still believe that Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre was something that was faked. Where do we think that these theories come from? What are they a response to?
I think a sizable percentage of gun owners are so enamored of their weapons that they fail to conceive the notion that many of us do not need or, you know, want weapons in our life. And besides, it's really hard to imagine that you want a weapon when you conceive it as latent violence. You know, the weapon is just there, resting, waiting to cause harm and kill someone. And that's not attractive at all.
I suppose I wonder if maybe one reason why people reach for conspiracy theories is that it makes them feel less in danger to believe that these things aren't actually happening to real people.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think people really cling to these false narratives because if they don't, then they have to accept the fact that someone did walk into a school and murder children with in a very horrible, violent way. And they would have to really sit with that and reflect on it and kind of deal with that immense tragedy. And I think it's so much easier to just be like, no, that didn't happen. These people are actors, and, you know, and send death threats to these poor parents, you know, these poor survivors, instead of really just accepting that this happened and this is a real problem in our country. And we should do something about it.
Yeah, well, back to the original question about why do people think this, I think it goes back to we really have an institutional distrust these days, right? The media has gotten it turned into fake news. I almost think they're going to have a push to regulate journalism in the future because we see how much fake news is being pushed out there.
And how much real news is being called fake news uncorrected.
But you also look at it immediately after the shooting. The next day, CNN and many other stories ran that this guy was a white nationalist, and it turned out that story was false. And George Chitty, who's been on the show before, tracked it back and said that was actually started by white nationalists, so it would further erode trust in journalism. So we've got a lot of things going on in this country, and another reason people think is because of this false flag alert that a lot of folks think that sometimes the government is intentionally trying to create chaos in order to steal our rights. Now, yes, that's paranoid and conspiracy theorists, but it's a reality for some people out there.
And it's been part of our history for a while now. I mean, you saw this after 9/11. You've seen it going back decades. But it really underlines, doesn't it?
The JFK, think about that.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Because if we can't even agree what the truth is, what chance do we have as a divided nation of coming to agreement about the solution?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we also don't want people to just kind of determine truth by consensus. Sometimes the truth is in question, and we have to be honest about that.
Yeah, but not in these cases. I mean, there's some really ugly stuff out on Facebook attacking these poor kids who just went through this terrible tragedy. And it's ugly and awful. And there's no doubt about it. These kids are kids who've just come through a terrible tragedy. Some of them are very media savvy, and I think the older generation doesn't understand that. I mean, these are kids who already... You know, that's how you live your life. You post stuff on Facebook, or you go live, or you tweet, or you Snapchat. And I think, you know, yeah, they're going to be more polished than an older person caught in the same situation. But that's just because of the generation they're in.
Yeah, did you see Emma Gonzalez? I mean, she rocked. I mean, how can anyone think that she's an actress? I mean, makes no sense at all.
We'll have to leave it there, Hector. It's Friday. We are in the break room. And just ahead, could you ever go on a date with someone of the other political party? Also, strap in because the Atlanta airport has flights to Wakanda.
Let's go.
The fake African nation from the Black Panther movie. We'll talk more about the week's news with our break room gang just after the break. It's on Second Thought. There she is. There's Fergie. I'm Adam Ragusea. This is On Second Thought. We're having coffee and conversation in the break room as we do each Friday. My guests are Hector Fernandez, professor in the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State University. Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications. Greg Williams, mortgage banker and host of the conservative radio show Greg's List. And Amber Scott, executive director of the nonprofit Leap Year. You gotta give it to Fergie. She knows how to get attention. Let's listen to a little bit more of that performance of the Star Spangled Banner from the NBA All-Star game last weekend. Oh, I'm told that we don't have the clip, so let me see if I can
We can recall it.
It was so bad.
Well, let's try to put a finer point on it. Was it bad in the sense that it was ill-conceived, like the entire arrangement and the approach was just tasteless? Or had she nailed the vocal, had it been like super in tune and really, really good, would we have allowed her the license to do something so, shall we say, edgy?
She sexed it up. I mean, she has all the right, because artists, you know, they're entitled to push the envelope.
The national anthem.
It's a symbol of the state.
I don't understand.
Hendrix did it. Fergie can do it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, artists, when you attack such a performance, you're failing to understand somebody's right to interpret the symbols of the state, and it shows a bit of lack of understanding of the relationship between the idea of nation and the physicality of the state. So, I mean, she has all the right to do whatever she wants.
Yeah, and Amber has the right to think that she did a terrible job.
Absolutely.
I don't. I mean, I think there's a lot of sexism in the response to the performance. I mean, it read bluesy to me, not like inappropriately Marilyn-esque.
Yeah,
and besides, it's Fergie we're talking about.
Marvin Gaye did a sexy national anthem,
and it is
legendary to this day.
Yes.
And the thing is, it is Fergie we're talking about. I mean, this woman probably, you know, sleeps in her stilettos, okay? What did they expect?
It's not her
fault that the basketball player on the Jumbotron had his jaw on the floor. I mean, that's not her problem.
Art is art, so to speak, and everybody can now be a critic. That was actually the first time I had heard it. I wasn't able to watch the live performance.
The Star Spangled Banner?
Somewhere, yeah, it's the first time I've ever heard that song. But no, the Fergie version. And I mean, somewhere Roseanne Marr must be like, wow, I was very close to not having the worst performance ever.
But that was different. That was disrespectful. This was an artistic choice, and for a lot of people it misfired.
I mean, my thing is, you know, as a country, as we just saw in our conversation about guns, right, there are very few things that we are all on the same page about. And, like, this is the one thing. This is our anthem that we can all, like, yes.
Hendrix got crucified when he did what he did. And now everybody loves it.
If Marvin can do it, Fergie can do it.
Yeah, I suppose I come back to my original implied conclusion, which is that if she had stuck the landing, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Like, you can get away with a lot if you do it really, really unimpeachably well. And she didn't. All right, okay. Moving on to other issues of great significance. Most of the nation agrees that Marvel's Black Panther movie is awesome.
If anyone found out what we truly are, what we possess, it could destroy the world.
Show me my respect.
It is my duty to protect it.
And bow down.
My son, this is your time.
Now, the Atlanta airport got a lot of attention after tweeting a picture of a departing flight ostensibly headed to Wakanda. The weird thing about that is that Wakanda does not exist. It is a fictional East African nation from the movie and the comic book Black Panther. And I suppose that you could say that the real Wakanda is actually right here, because Black Panther spent more than $80 million in production right here in Georgia. Is it okay for the Atlanta airport, a public facility, to basically promote a giant Hollywood film? Are we cool with this because it's kind of cute?
Oh, of course. It was fun. Look, Black Panther's a cultural phenomenon. It's shot right here in Georgia. Why not brag about the connection a little?
When it's a movie that good, absolutely. And I got to tell you, like, when I saw that, I was like, yo, I'm about to go to Hartsfield and be on the first plane to Wakanda.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it all. You know, it's great advertising because it should suggest the wonder of Wakanda as an aspirational destination, you know? And in that sense, it's great.
Yeah, celebrating
but
the fact
Greg,
that it was...
But Greg,
yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, I was going to say, celebrating the fact that it was actually filmed here in Atlanta, generated nearly $90 million, you know, for the state. Unfortunately, about $50 million of that was sent back home to Wakanda, but I think it's certainly a great thing.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. The state of Georgia has really given its all to this movie in the form of the incredibly generous tax credit that was the reason they shot it here in the first place, right?
Yes. So, and that's one of the things that, as somebody that looks at the economy and says we shouldn't be picking winners and losers, the film tax credit has actually worked out because it is spread across a very diverse, it's not just picking one production company, it's giving it to the TV shows. In fact, I live near Tucker and the Clarkston border, and the show Good Girls, it's coming out on NBC, that's being filmed at my grocery store. And the money that, and you should see all the hubbub around there, and there's a bevy of folks there. I mean, it is a ton of money coming in, and these retail areas in that area certainly need the boost. So I've got to say that the jury has decided, and the film tax credit has worked wonders for Georgia.
It's good.
All right, settled issue. I like that. Here's something that I thought was going to be settled, but apparently it's not. Dating is supposed to be fun, right?
You're a good-looking man.
Thank you.
Very pretty. Real soft, delicate features. Real feminine, you know, which is good for me, because that would be a simple sort of transition, you know what I'm saying? Maybe throw a little rouge on you. You game?
No.
Well, perhaps dating is not so great when you end up on a date with someone from an opposing ideology or political party. This is why some people have created a new dating service exclusively for Trump supporters. Greg, would you use it?
No. Like, well, especially now that I'm married, that would be really awkward.
Yeah, that's reason number one.
You know,
you would have a problem, a little problem.
You know
there.
What? I had to end the Tinder app and the Trumper app, is that what they call it? I don't know. Trump singles. I would never go on just based on somebody's political ideology. There's many reasons not to do that. But unfortunately, the Trump dating site has already been inundated with liberal trolls. I've seen several of my Facebook friends claiming that they now have to go out on a cross-dressing date because somebody agreed to take them on the app. So, yeah, okay. It looks like the party's over for that site.
But here's the thing. So, you know, political allegiances, it's not just like, you know, I'm a fan of one sports team and you're a fan of another sports team. These are actually really significant, profound, substantive disagreements that people have with one another. And is not a system of essentially shared values going to be essential to any successful relationship?
Well, politics... Amber? Oh, sorry. That was Natalie. I'll be quiet.
That was Natalie, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that as a nation, you know, we're so divisive already. So I really hate the premise that we can't even date somebody who has conflicting political views. I wish we lived in a world where we could. However, at the same time, I wonder at this point, what would you talk about? Like, what would that dinner conversation be?
Reinforcement. In one word, reinforcement.
Maybe you're not having conversations. Maybe you're
no, you don't want a conversation. You just want somebody else to reinforce the notion that your views are the correct ones, which is rather
she
sad.
She was going a different direction with that, I think.
No, but look, politics and values do go hand in hand, right? And yeah. I dated a lot of Republicans back when I was single. I was actually a teenage Republican myself, if you can believe it. But
do you think about it each time you go out?
If I were single, could I date somebody who actually, wholeheartedly supported Trump? No, I couldn't. And I think it's a sign of our divided times.
Yeah, that said, all human beings are social animals. They deserve a mate. So I think Trump supporters deserve each other. And, once they're together,
Trumpista babies.
You know, most likely they're so angry, they're going to start fighting between themselves.
I mean, I think that the Hillary supporters have shown themselves to be just as angry this past year. So let's not blame just the Trump folks.
Yeah, but he's dead.
What?
You said Hitler?
No, Hillary.
Oh, gosh.
I heard Hitler, too.
Sounded like Hitler.
I heard Hitler.
I broke Godwin's law way too early.
He had a lapsus.
I said the Hillary supporters. Well, hey, that's a Freudian slip, I suppose.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right.
Well, speaking of the president of America, not the Third Reich, another day, another tweet storm by President Trump. This week, one target was Oprah. He tweeted, quote, "Just watched a very insecure Oprah Winfrey, who at one point I knew very well, interview a panel of people on 60 Minutes. The questions were biased and slanted, the facts incorrect. Hope Oprah runs," presumably he means for president, "so that she can be exposed and defeated just like all of the others." Now, folks, certainly Trump has crossed a lot of people on Twitter. Is Oprah where the nation shall draw the line?
Oh, who can even keep up? I mean, seriously, the bully in chief has attacked half the country by now, right? What I love about this is Oprah's response, because what she did was actually took a second look at the segment she did for 60 Minutes to see if any President Whiny Pants' criticisms had merit. And I can't imagine him responding in a similar way.
No. And, first of all, can I just point out, I know we're at this place where we just all accept this, but I just need to say, this is not normal presidential behavior. Like, it just needs to be reminded and reinforced that this is not normal. This is not how a president should behave. But because we've all just been so inundated with it and just kind of accepted, I think there will be little consequence to it because it's so frequently occurring now that everyone's just like, oh, so who did he attack now?
And, it's like, well,
this is hardly his most transgressive tweet.
Because our threshold has gone the way of...
Well, one has a right to respond to coverage of you that you feel is slanted.
One does. The president of the United States.
One also has the right to expect decent behavior from the president of the country. And we haven't received that in quite a while.
Super okay.
It's been at least 8 years. You're absolutely right, Hector.
Really? Obama?
Really? You're going to go there?
Direction. Insulting people on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Presidents just got raided. Trump, obviously, at the bottom of the list. Obama was among the top eight, I believe.
I have to question the source on that one.
Even the Republican historians involved in that, and it was about 170 who responded. Even the Republicans put him in the bottom five.
After first year results, with our economy going gangbusters, I think that history will shine a better image on Trump.
No way.
Let's get back to the point of the question, though. Right. And it's about how you behave as president. In that regard, I am so disappointed in this guy. I kind of thought maybe when he came on, because he can be charming when he wants to be. He can rally a group. I thought he had, because he was untethered from kind of our normal politics. I was willing to give him a chance for a few months. Maybe he can craft a new path. But he has disappointed me again and again and again and again.
There was no way he was ever going to get a fair shake from anybody at this table.
If he bans AR-15s, I'll give him a fair shake.
Okay.
If he
including you?
Stops...
Will I ban AR-15s? No, I'm not going to give him an
unfair
shake.
You're at this table, not fair shake.
If he defends the country by accepting the findings on the Russia investigation and helping instead of hindering, then he'll get my vote. If he acts like a leader and not a divider, then he'll get my vote.
Yeah, I agree with Natalie.
Yeah,
shall be seen.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amber.
He lost it for me when he called African nations s-hole.
Yeah, there was that.
So there's kind of no coming back from
so
that.
What the question should be, when did you first get Trump derangement syndrome? And I think
I'm glad you admit that he's deranged, Greg. That's real progress.
So many people.
It's more an affliction for people that are living day-to-day through his tweets and hating life
of the presidential duties include offending half of the nation constantly?
I guess with Obama. I could just go back to our most recent president.
As divided as we may be in our politics, you cannot sit here with a straight face and say that Obama was as rude and embarrassing and unpresidential in his demeanor.
Certainly,
you can't compare
Obama
those
was
two.
More rehearsed,
perhaps not explicitly.
He was more rehearsed and had more eloquent language, but the idea that he was less divisive than Trump,
really?
I think.
Obama offended half of the nation. Really going to fly that?
Offended half of the nation.
Statistically, that doesn't compute at all.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, good talk.
All right.
Let's go ahead and let some of our listeners weigh in here on some of the things that we've been talking about. This is a Facebook post from Leonard Henry, who was going back to our conversation about gun control following the school shooting in Florida. Leonard writes, "Our constitutional rights and freedoms are not based on what we think we need. We don't need cars with more than 50 HP that travel more than horsepower." Hey, I'm such a man. Such a man.
Hewlett Packard?
50 HP that can travel more than 55 miles per hour. Think of all the lives regulating cars would save. Don't like gun ownership? Fine. Get the signatures you need nationwide to have a constitutional referendum repealing the Second Amendment. See how far that gets. Also on Facebook, Monique writes about Fergie's rendition of the national anthem. "If I never hear that awful version of the Star Spangled Banner again, it will be too soon. It's the national anthem. It's not a performance piece. We should stop inviting people to lead the anthem with the notion that the purpose is for them to perform and entertain everyone." That's from Monique in Savannah. So, folks, I think we'll go ahead and leave it there. We'll let our guests have the last word. Certainly, y'all have gotten in plenty this time, which is great. That's great. I'm very, very happy. Amber Scott is executive director of the nonprofit Leap Year. Hector Fernandez is a professor in the Department of World Languages and Cultures at Georgia State University. Natalie Pavelski is vice president of Cater Communications. And Greg Williams is a mortgage banker and host of the radio show Greg's List. Thank you all. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, Adam. You guys have a great weekend.
A great weekend, everybody.
We're going to hug it out later.
Indeed, I hope so. That's our show for today. As always, listeners, we really want to know what you have to say. Hope that you chime in with reactions to anything that you have heard in today's program. Give us a call at 404-500-9457, 404-500-9457. And I'm going to ask you kind of a meta question now. Sure, please weigh in on any of the controversial issues that we discussed. But the other thing I'm curious about is, do you want more public radio like the kind that you just heard, that's a little bit more lively, confrontational, oppositional, people getting heated with each other, talking over each other with great passion? Or do you more prefer the traditional public radio, nice, staid, quiet, one person speaking at a time, everyone observing manners, et cetera, et cetera? I'm honestly curious what your feeling on that question is. Let us know at 404-500-9457. You can tweet us at OST Talk. You can find our Facebook page. It's On Second Thought right there on the Facebook. For today and for the week, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Adam Ragusea. Have yourself a good weekend.